What one place in Rutland can you go and do all the following? Have your car detailed for $30 and get an oil change. Get a manicure, a pedicure, and a facial for less than the normal price of a facial. Arrange catered desserts for a function. Buy a house. Have a picnic table built to your specification. Have car repairs done. Get a brochure designed for an annual appeal. Have your child enrolled in a daycare program. Have your motorcycle, ATV, or lawnmower repaired. Or arrange a teleconference with business associates. Wow. At the same place, adults can learn the following: small engine repair, computer maintenance and repair, welding, grant writing, website development, food photography, Indian cooking, so you'll have something to photograph, Spanish, phlebotomy, including certification, commercial driver's license, and motorcycle safety. Amazing to me is that all these services are available to the public at Stafford Technical Center. The programs are offered are designed to provide skills that are valuable in today's workplace. The program goes far beyond that in its impact on the students, as Karen will cover in her portion of the talk. We will conclude with the reflections of a Stafford student on what her educational experience means. Today's vocational education provides a different path, both from what it was in the past and from today's standard high school curriculum. For me, Stafford is truly remarkable in demonstrating how far we've come in vocational education since I graduated from high school 50 years ago this year. My recollection is that there were two tracks of vocational education, each designed for the students who didn't measure up academically to participate in the normal high school curriculum. The two tracks were shop and home ec. How sexist was that? That meant the only vocation to which girls were exposed was that of a homemaker. The boys, meanwhile, in shop, which I didn't really understand the scope of, but my recollection is that this was a place where you could get hurt and badly. In seventh grade, all the girls had an introductory course in home ec, and all the boys went to shop. There is no doubt that valuable skills were taught, but the division between the sexes meant that boys didn't learn how to iron a shirt — this was before wash and wear — bake a cake, or sew on a button, and girls didn't know — well, I don't even know what that strange, mysterious, and masculine environment taught. I guess it was how to use tools, cut wood, and stuff like that. Over the years, I've heard many men say they wish that they had been exposed to the skills taught in home ec. The life skills taught in these programs were important, but very narrow in the jobs for which vocational education prepared these students, particularly for the girls. Fast forward. A couple of years ago, Bill and I went to an open house at Stafford Technical School Center, and were stunned and delighted by what we saw and heard. Vocational education is now the choice of students rather than the dumping ground it seemed to be 50 years ago. At the open house, I was very impressed with the maturity of the students. Some of them don't thrive in an all-day classroom setting and are trying out different career choices. Others have a definite idea of what they want to do and find that the programs give them a head start when they leave high school. Stafford offers over 15 programs for students that not only provide exposure to a wide variety of career paths, but in most cases offer college credit or the opportunity to earn an entry-level professional certification. Some examples of programs and their effectiveness. The Health Career Academy allows students to become certified as licensed nurse assistants on graduation. Second-year students can earn up to 12 college credits at Castleton State College and participate in a paid work experience in the healthcare field. The proven effectiveness of the program is attested to by the numbers of graduates employed and in higher education. 3 years after leaving Health Careers, 51% of the students employed, while 48% were pursuing further education. That's 99% of the students. A recently added program, cosmetology, was not started until the administration was convinced of the economic viability of a career in the field. Now, a graduate who is 18 years of age with 1,500 hours of training can sit for the state board exam and go directly to work as a licensed cosmetologist in a salon or spa. So far, 100% of the graduates sitting for the exam have gotten their licenses. Stafford rewards entrepreneurial efforts. The Dollhouse Restaurant for years has offered lunches to the public from the culinary arts students. Recently, a senior in the program suggested that the Dollhouse open for dinner on a limited basis. She developed a business plan that resulted in the Dollhouse serving dinner. I have spoken to a number of people who have wanted to have dinner there, but the problem seems to be that the initiative is so successful that reservations must be booked way in advance. Culinary arts graduates may be dually enrolled at Stafford and the New England Culinary Institute. Successful completion of joint programs with NECI can result in a scholarship to NECI as well as advanced placement. 90% of the electrical and plumbing students are employed and 8% pursuing higher education 3 years from graduation. This program can provide up to 4 credits at the State University of New York at Delhi and 400 hours toward the Vermont Registered Apprenticeship hours. And we all know how tough it is to get an electrician or a plumber. In addition to the variety of programs and leg up on further education provided by this 21st century vocational school is a connection with the community that was not the case when I was in high school. The different student businesses provide direct interaction with customers, and the program itself is designed to respond to changing workforce needs. The newest program, STEM, was added recently. Science, technology, engineering, and math prepares students for 21st century jobs in aerospace, engineering, robotics, and other fields. Students earn up to 12 college credits through Rochester Institute of Technology and up to 25 college credits through Vermont Technical College. Much of this information was obtained from the Stafford website and a brochure, By the Numbers, designed and published entirely by second-year students in the digital arts program. The publication rivals corporate profiles I have seen in the quality of production, use of statistics, testimonials, and photography. Overall, 3 years after leaving Stafford, 64.2% of the students are employed and 31.2% are pursuing further education. That's not over 95% of those attending Stafford. Clearly, they're doing many things right. Karen Kaiser is well known to the UU community as an active involved member of this congregation. Her day job is director of the digital arts program at Stafford and can give us a more intimate view of the institution and its students.
Instead of me. He's such a good public speaker. education was far different than Kathy's. I went to one of the first open schools in the United States. We didn't have grades, we didn't have report cards. Every student got a beautiful, individualized plan they put their parents like 3 times a year. We had huge classrooms with beanbag chairs. We sat in circles and held hands. In our library, we had lofts that you would climb up, and at the top of the stairs were these little cubbies that were all carpeted, so you could check out a book, and you would climb in and read. Can you still hear me? Okay. Our science lab was live animals, and the animals were running around, and we picked them up and played with them. There was all kinds of things that you could do and touch and experience. Did the staff keep track of us all? No. Did it work for everybody? No. For some of us, it was great. For me, I was so grateful I was able to make pottery. I was able to do woodworking. I was able to explore everything possible in the arts. And it was a K-12 school. My dream is to open an arts magnet somewhere in Vermont. But for right now, I teach at Stafford. And I love my job. It's absolutely fabulous. Our school, like all other schools, have all kinds of politics and a lot of work in education. I think no school is free of that. But as Kathy mentioned, we have a different model, a business model. One of the things that I love about Stafford, and I lost my place here, I'm sorry, but is one of the things that's great is I develop the program, I write the curriculum, I have complete control over what is taught. And when I close my doors, it's a magical place where we get to be together and create art, and create the kind of art that we see fit when we're not making brochures for the school. I say we because Dan is here today with an awesome student. The business model works really well for the dollhouse. Kids are able to order food, they work with the staff, they do scheduling, they serve the public. Also, the human services program has a daycare, and Jessica, who's been working with us, down in the daycare during church, is from that program. Those students, they order the food, they look at books, they look at all of the things that will work for the preschool kids. For our class, it's a little bit different because I really am not focusing on creating kids that are going to be able to go into the workforce. They can't. They have to go to college. So our class, the first year is a foundation in the arts. How do you draw? How do you work with certain software? What about those skills that can't make a brochure? Second year students do a little bit more of the client work. The second year students, when we work on the brochure, when we do our business in the classroom, we work with graphic designer Dave Townsend. And he comes into the classroom for once a week for a quarter. He decided one day that he has 40 years of experience creating art and doing graphic design. And what is he going to do with that? He's going to die, and all of that knowledge is going to go away with him. So he decided to give it back, and he's giving it back by working with my students. I feel so blessed. The time that he puts in and the experience he brings is so different. And it's one of those models that is not traditional education. It's something so new. And it's a way that we all can give back to the community. What I think, too, is magical about Stafford is a lot deeper than business or money. The class sizes are really small. I have 20 students that are with me all day long. They come and they go to different academics. But digital arts is their home. It's a safe place where they're with a group of their peers, people who are artists, people who are like-minded. It's a safe place for kids who are gay, transgender, are really different. Kids that are bullied in their sending schools have a choice to come to Stafford, and they have a safe place to learn. It's also a safe place for kids who know what they want to do. If they know they want to be a graphic designer and their school doesn't offer a whole lot, they can come to Stafford. Much of education, what I think education needs, is meaningful, safe, experiential learning, where kids can explore in communities of their peers. A few weeks ago, Nancy Weiss talked with us about tradition. And education is one of those traditions where we say, this is the way it is, and this is the way it's supposed to be. When you challenge that or change it, people become angry. They barricade themselves in, and they say, no, people think a classroom has to be rows where people raise their hands, or kids raise their hands. It doesn't have to be that. Experiential learning involves movement, it involves travel. What better way to learn about a culture than to try their food, to do their dances, to sing their songs? People are always amazed, like Kathy said, when they come to Stafford. They're amazed at what the kids produce. They're amazed at how respectful the kids are. They're amazed at the kids. We have very few discipline problems when you compare us to other schools. But we're a school of choice, too. So kids are deciding to be there. My class is fairly competitive. You have to apply to get in, and not everybody makes it in. But I think what makes Stafford really, really different are the kids are treated with respect. And we say, here's this $1,000 camera, go out and shoot. When you trust somebody to that level, they usually jump that high. They usually rise to the occasion, and that's true of kids, too. It feels really odd for me to be up here talking about my job on Easter, or Easter, I'm not sure how you pronounce that pagan name. But I would like you to think about an educational rebirth. Think about how could education be different? What was your education like? What did you experience? What worked for you? Think completely outside of the box of what it could be. Think about what you could do. All of our schools in Rutland have visiting grandparents that come in. We have a lot of grandmas. We don't have a lot of grandpas. So I was thinking Bob would be really good. You could teach my class there. But think about our community, bringing that to young people who don't have that in their homes, a community of acceptance, a community of compassion, and bringing that into our schools. The rewards are amazing. There's not another job where you get hugs as payment. It might not pay as much as some other jobs, but it's amazing. Dana Hughes is going to talk to us a little bit about her experience. Dana's a third-year student at Stafford in the Digital Arts program. Dana came in 10th grade, which is kind of rare, and her sending school didn't want to release her, so she had someone steal an application for her. She snuck into Stafford. She's a pretty amazing young woman.
Hi, my name is Dana. I'm a third-year student at Stafford. I've been in Karen's program for 3 years now. And first of all, Stafford was, first and foremost, Stafford was an escape for me, for my Sunday school. Because I can say, without a doubt, that if I stayed in my Sunday school, I wouldn't be alive today, because it was such a hostile environment for me, and it was such a bad environment. And that's why I was so eager to go to Stafford. And I knew by eighth grade when they toured Fairhaven grade school, that I knew that I wanted to go there. And I knew that Stafford was my ticket out and ticket for living. And then Stafford, when I went, Stafford was wow, I can do the things that I want. I can draw all day, and I'll be graded for it, and be told that I did a good job. I can do the things that I was doing in my classes already, but actually gonna be a grade for it. And it showed me that I have a future in the arts, and that I can actually make a career out of this. And then Stafford was, I made friends, and that was a first. So, I didn't really have friends before that. And Stafford is more of you're worthy. You're worthy of friends. You're worthy of the praise that you get. And you're worthy of life. And people enjoy your company and people like you. And Stafford showed you so much. I can honestly say that Stafford saved my life, and Stafford showed me that I can do anything if I want to. And my recent third year showed me not only that I'm worthy, but I can be a leader. And 3 years probably, yeah, we're just talking to new people. I would think that you'd just be judging me or like think I'm fat or something. Staffers, I'm on the regional advisory board and I'm on the outreach committee. And 3 years ago, I wouldn't have thought that like people would have liked me enough to like elect me or like that I would be a good leader. But like over the 3 years, Sacker has been like helping me, building me up, showing me these colleges that I can go to, showing me all these college credits in the day, showing me like all these friends and all these wonderful people that are still in my lives even though they graduated. And Stafford has shown me that I could actually like take control of my life and put myself out there without being pushed down. And I think that it's that any kid in my situation would love that. I mean, anyone who wants to get like a hostile environment needs to go to Stafford. Anyone who knows what they want to do for the future needs to go to Stafford. Because like I said, I can honestly say, I wouldn't be here today without Stafford. I wouldn't be alive. And that's just like, exaggerating. I really, deep in my heart, know that. And I want to thank Karen for being like a second mother to me for 12 years. I definitely want to thank Stafford for all they've done. It's really been great. It's made my high school experience not something that I would look back and hate, which I thought it would be.
Response, which is, I didn't think that this talk or triple talk would have anything to do with Easter, and I find it has everything to do with Easter. It's amazing.
This is not really a question. It's just thank you for coming and presenting this, because not enough people know about what's going on in Stafford. And I think we as a society need to work on bringing it down so that younger and younger kids can get into a more varied, comfortable situation. I have second graders with me at school. That's not right.
Spirit of 50 years. yesterday about what they call the confidence gap in women, and there was a quote, I can't remember who said it, but if life was one long grade school, women would rule the world.
Right.
You know, because we really teach our girls to be perfect and to get along and, you know, all those kind of social skills, but we don't teach women to get their hands dirty, you know, and get in there and try and fail and try to fix it, you know. And so it was an interesting talk, and I really reflected on that, like, if life was like, you know, like, yeah, if life was like grade school that never ended, you know, like, your skill set would need to be pretty limited, you know, to be successful in that environment. So this talk was really relating that to me too.
Roommate of tears. I'm amazed at your courage.
Dana, I have a question. It's kind of an academic question. I'm a math teacher, a 7th and 8th grade math teacher, and as such, I try to encourage each of my students to love math, even if they hate math. I'm like, even if you hate math, try to love it. And I'm aware that some of them don't. And maybe some of them never will, and that kind of makes me sad, because I would like everyone to love math, and I would like everyone to love art, and everyone to love English, etc. I don't know how you relate to sort of traditional academics like math and English and science. What I guess I want to know what your relationship to those academic subjects was before, and if it has changed now.
Thank you for a wonderful presentation. I have just a little question. Where did you grow up, Karen, that you could go to a school like that?
Minnesota. It was in St. Paul, Minnesota. And the school's still there. It's not exactly the same, but it started in 1972. And my parents were kind of hippies, so they were like, let's, you know, send her off, and both are educated. Let's send her off to something that's very unique. I think older schools have evolved a little bit since the 70s because there was so much of a free, let's run barefoot through the fields kind of approach. But I think we've lost so much of that. We need a little bit more of that back, or some of that back.
I just love hearing the three completely different perspectives. Generationally different and experientially different. It was just wonderful. And yet, even though they were so different, the combination of the three perspectives just led me back to all the like the heart of the reason why I became an educator myself, and because I think the three of you in combination just really nailed it. What's at the core of teaching and learning? Thank you so much.
So Becky, I think your observation is really, really good that we have like a different panel of perspectives on what's going on at Stafford. And I just wanted to say a little bit because I have a couple of different perspectives too. I sometimes sub for Karen, and I'm here to tell you that her classroom is a very special place. Those students have no fear of being able to explore their creative impulses and try different things and even take an experiential approach to art, which, unless you're as old as I am, sounds like a total contradiction, you know, but, you know, anything that's academic can become staid, and Karen students are definitely encouraged to experiment, try different things, and look at things from different angles, and I've seen some of the work that's come from there, and it's been amazing. As somebody who's taken classes at Stafford, I just want to point out welding is a good thing.
My reaction is that Danny, you just have such wonderful self-confidence and really a profound happiness, and it's just wonderful to see that. I wonder if you're devoid of the fear I had, which was just below consciousness when I was graduating high school, and that was, how am I going to pay the rent? And beyond that, there's such significant value for the consumer to household, homeowner, and the like, to understand much better than the general public does, what is it that a plumber does, what is it that an electrician does, to put themselves in a more valid, self-protective kind of consumer role. You know what I'm getting at here? In other words, you're not snowed by what's going to cost $50,000 and you're going to get a new roof. What are you going to do in that kind of thing? I know that it sounds dumb, but I had a woodshop course in junior high, which is paying off even as a 70-year-old, because I can do a lot of things that I'd otherwise have to pay someone for, or just becoming a little bit more self-sufficient. There's a lot of confidence in that. But aren't you kind of assured that you're really going to be able to make a living and pay rent and stuff like that? But you can show me again.
Merlin.